This is Sister Zombie, a memoir by Anna Appleby. This podcast is performed by Angie Morenci, written and produced by Harold Brody. For all information about music and sounds, including links to composers and tracks, go to sisterzombiesounds.info. When we last left our story, Anna, in a dazed stupor, had managed to break in through a back entrance to the school while the dance was happening in the school gymnasium.
Chapter 45. My name is Anna Appleby. The supply room exited into a short hallway ending at another door which I knew fed into the back of the gymnasium. As I approached the door, I heard Nodder saying something about football, then a big cheer from the crowd of revelers, and then I paused, just about to open the door and test my fate. I heard Nodder say, by way of introduction, "James Califano!" The crowd erupted. Knowing that everyone in the place would be distracted, I opened the door, at first just a sliver, to peep my head through. Fortunately, the whole gymnasium was very dimly lit, as its darkness clashed distinctly with my hallway. Feeling buffeted by this, I slunk my whole body through the door. I was behind a large elevated platform, bounded at the sides by large curtains that extended from the floor all the way up to the high ceiling, perhaps 50 feet in the air. My door was beside one of these curtains, so as to keep me hid. The platform itself seemed shallow, but it did encompass the width of the gym. When I stepped gently from the concealment of the curtain, knowing full well I was in a dark spot, I could see the shadowy shapes of the students stretching out in the distance beyond the platform, and when I moved a little more, I could see the backlit features of Nodder standing on the platform itself, about 50 feet away from me, and then two more figures on the platform approaching him to near what appeared to be a podium. Even though a spotlight hit and threw them into harsh silhouette, it was clear to me that these two figures were Chloe and James. For I could easily recognize Chloe from afar, by unclear sight alone. James, less so, but it was plain from before that Nodder was introducing him, perhaps to give some kind of speech. Of course, Chloe would accompany him, and at first I thought that Nodder would intervene and pry Chloe away from James's side, seeing as how Nodder despised her. But Nodder stood his ground, and even joined in with a cheer and a hand clap. When James was within reach, Nodder stepped in, gave him a big hug, then released him, and did the same to Chloe. Then Nodder left the platform, as a suited James took his position behind the podium, tapping the microphone, causing a loud popping noise to reverberate through the hall. But that was nothing compared to the victory holler he unleashed a second later. The students hollered back, either in unison or agony. I couldn't tell which, but either way, they were ecstatic, and an energy filled the room. The ensuing words James would utter seemed unimportant to the day, as they were generic, simple words of conquest, and the crowd would cheer, as if on cue. As if the whole thing had been rehearsed and played out before in a million different gymnasiums, in a million different high schools, in a million different small towns across a million years of America. And all told, it rang to anyone who'd listen. I was ready to take my walk. I was going to walk up on that platform and stand in that spotlight. To this day, I often imagine how I must have appeared. A barefoot waif, straw-haired, covered in bloody cuts, uniform mangled and torn, not even supposed to be worn, emerging from deepest shadow into the brightest light. James was at the podium still, milking the cheers, oblivious to anything, even when a few in the crowd started to point and react to my presence. It was Chloe who noticed this first, who turned to acknowledge me. Chloe, wearing the same red dress meant for me just hours before. Her eyes bulged as I moved toward her, though I wasn't moving quickly at all, as I had no real purpose other than to feel whatever in that moment would possess me to action. Chloe didn't run to me, or say anything, or try and stop me. She just stood and watched, as if she too wanted to know what would happen next. As I stepped closer to her, 20 feet, 10, I could feel myself entering the light, and it stung like pain, fear made physical. It caused my cuts to ooze and feel new. It forced my steps to slow, though this made me resolute, and I strained myself forward and reached to within 5 feet of her, now fully bathed in light. And James, too, turned toward me, and he as well bulged his eyes, as if he and Chloe were just mirrors of each other. And I stepped toward the podium, and a silence overtook the place, ecstasy receding into anticipation. For nobody dared say a word, nobody dared do anything but behold the sight of this impossible figure before them, standing there, next to her very own self, two hearts beating, two sisters, where there should only be one. I took the microphone from the podium, for I realized that I didn't want to hide. I wanted everyone to see me, to hear me. I stepped away from the figures of Chloe and James, who by now were clutching each other in fear. I grasped then that I was engendering something akin to awe, that hundreds of eyes were upon me, trembling, though I could not see them myself, blinded with the spotlight in my eyes. But I felt them there, hushed before me, couples, waiting, hearts racing. I couldn't disenchant them, or either quell their dread. I raised the microphone to my lips and spoke.
When I close my eyes, this is what I see. 2 by 2 by 2 by 2 by 2 by 2 by 2. All of you. But you are all two alone. You are all 1 plus 1. That's not me. I'm a real 2. For I am she, and she is me, and we together make not 1 but 2, you see? You spend your whole life being 1. Except for those few times when you think you're 2, like now, but you're not 2. You're still 1, in love with being 2, but always alone as 1, never together as 2. And love? What do you know of love? For you know you can only love yourself, and any illusion you have of loving another 1 is simply that. An illusion of 2 that's really just 1, really just you, all alone. 1. Unless you're me. For I am 2, not 1, so I know love. I know it more than you. Don't believe me? Well, let me ask you this. If you think you are 2, and the other person cries, do you cry too? If you think you are 2, and the other person falls, do you fall too? If you think you are 2, and the other person dies, do you die too? There's no way you do. No way. That's how, for my 2, I offer you a clue. You remember me and her not long ago. You could see us together as easy as can be. Though I might argue you didn't see me. Nobody knew me, and the only one who did was nobody. See? All so busy being one, laughing as one, playing as one, cool as one. Wasted as one, sex as one, never realizing that none of those things needed two, just one. So you and you alone will always be just one. But I was two. And I was there, though nobody saw me and nobody cared. Then suddenly I lost half of what was my two. And then everyone saw me, though nobody knew. Then everyone thought that the story was true, that I wanted to be one instead of my two. That I had done something that you would not do. I can tell you right now that none of that's true. Or maybe it was. I don't know what to do.
I was lost, and Chloe knew, and had walked over to me. But the sight of her snapped my back, and I began talking anew.
You! You have no right to be me. I'm me.
But I'm you.
No! Do you want to know who I am? Do you all want to know who I am? You never cared before, but I'm gonna tell ya. I'm the one who killed her. I kicked her off a cliff because she's a fucking bitch. And you know what I did after that? I killed my mother, my own goddamn mother, because I hated her. And I wanted her dead, and she flew down the stairs and she hit her head and was dead. And you know who else I killed? Coach Holden. You know why? Because he wouldn't let James play football. So of course he deserved to die. I'm the one who killed Paulo too, because he's a little shit, and he got in my eye. But I didn't stop there. I killed James. I killed him because I loved him, because that's what I do. And Mr. Spellman? Wonder where he is? He's dead in my basement with my dead mom. That's what I do. And wait, where's those three guys? I don't even know their names. Where? There you are. I can look you straight in the eye. I killed you and you and you. You want to know why? Well, I don't know why. It's just what I do. Because my name is Anna Appleby. I have the power to kill without the power to die.
I had time to take one breath before I saw the three footballers rush the platform and hoist themselves up. I turned to look at Chloe, whose face bore a look of absolute horror. James was trying to get to me, but Chloe held him back. Then I turned back, and the three footballers were upon me. I heard Chloe scream, and then other screams followed, and I don't know whose they were. But I hit the ground hard, and those three boys began hitting me, and I had no breath. And they started pulling my arms and legs, and the screaming got louder till I realized the scream was mine. And then something hurt so bad, I blacked out.